This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The first descendant has the potential to be the next big looter shooter. Early looks at the game and tests had people saying that there were issues with progression. When I first looked at the game, I had my own concerns and thoughts about, would this be a game worth checking out? Well, we have new information. We have brand new footage. I actually think it looks significantly better. We have boss fights and lots, I think, of good looks at the game. We have marketing from PlayStation about haptic feedback and exclusive features to the PlayStation 5. I want to give my own thoughts about the game. I actually see Souls and Souls-like influence along with Destiny, as well as other looter shooter games that we are familiar with. But I also want to talk about why I have something that I call the comparison curse. That'll be sort of near the end of this monologue. Ongoing games, live service games, looter shooters, they're all trying to stand out. And I believe there are a lot of challenges facing any game company that wants to make a game like this. Now, I put all the good information right here at the beginning. I'll run through some of the new details and things that we have. Then I discuss it with the live audience. So make sure you hit subscribe and the bell button so you don't miss out on my content. So the first Descendant is shaping up to be the next looter shooter that you may want to check out. An open beta is around the corner, and they've begun marketing the game with new footage and info. Now, before we got the first look of one of the 13 playable characters in the game right here on the screen, her name is Bunny. I want to look at that new footage and info. We actually have playable character reveals and blogs. We have gameplay that I think looks quite a bit better than before. But second, I also want to give my thoughts on what I have seen up to now. I was actually tempted to put Souls meets Destiny on the thumbnail, but I felt that was a little too simple and would invite maybe a lot of hate. I'll make my case as to why I think this. I want to talk about why I see influence of both Destiny, Souls, and other games in the footage that is available. And that sort of leads to the final thing that I want to talk about, the comparison curse. This isn't the first video game that has done a looter shooter attempt, right? This isn't the genre's first rodeo. We've been here before, and the comparisons can feel sort of like a preemptive curse or hex placed on a game's success. The way that you approach the game, what you expect from it, and you know, all the things that you hope to get out of it. I'll talk about that in a moment. So first, let's look at the new stuff, the new gameplay, and the things that we have. First, we got this trailer here that is introducing the new character, Bunny, and while the trailer opens with the typical video game trope of showing off her, you know, healthy backside, the gameplay actually looks really good. She has abilities based in electricity, and there's information here at the end as well about the cross-play beta. Now, I went to their official website to get info about all of the abilities that she has. They've revealed a handful of the 13 characters over there on their website. So if you're interested, you can go look at all that. Now, I'll do that after the monologue. We'll pull up the website. We'll kind of look at all the abilities. But in this opening monologue and recording, I'm only going to kind of look at some of her info. So first, she has an ability called Electro Orb, where you can summon an Electro Orb. It'll attack nearby enemies and inflict them with electrocute effect. Then she has Joyride. I actually think they show that off in the trailer when she's sort of sprinting and there's like electricity behind her. It increases your sprint speed and the amount of electricity obtained. So she actually has to gather energy for her attack. So according to the website, her battle concept is gathering energy to use her attack. So that is something that you're going to probably use regularly, right? Joyride to go really fast, jump around, do, you know, different things. The other ability they talked about is called Pulsar, which moving around will deal damage to nearby enemies and inflict them with electrocute effect. They may actually show this off in the trailer as well. where she's just kind of running around and everybody's getting electrocuted. Then they have one called Circuit Breaker, where you shoot out electricity toward to inflict damage. You can see that one right there. It's kind of like a beam, and the damage actually goes up in proportion to the skill's duration. And then the ground pound ability they show right at the beginning when she jumps down is called Dynamo. You actually charge into the ground. Basically, after a double jump, you inflict damage to nearby enemies. So there's 9 out of 13 characters outlined on the site. I'm not going to put them all in this monologue. That would be way too long, okay? The gunplay actually shown in the latest Bunny trailer, I actually think looks really, really nice. One of the things I think in games like this is you want the gunplay and the movement to feel good. They show her using like a sniper rifle, this grappling hook, really, really quick movement. Then there's just some gunplay that I think looks very tight. It looks responsive. Given there is 13 characters, I imagine they're probably going to start ramping up with more trailers in the coming weeks, especially since so many of them are outlined on their website. Then we got a blog post from PlayStation, and the blog post was entitled Experience the First Descendant Open Beta with Immersive DualSense Controller Features, and the blog was written by project lead from the game, Byung-Jin Lee, and Byung-Jin Lee is basically long-awaited to announce the cross-play open beta is going to be available from September the 19th to September the 25th. And make sure and write that down. It is a cross-play beta. And they open up the blog by describing, and I've got new footage for you here that wasn't included in the original video I'd been showing you, and this is where I think things really heat up. Pay attention to the bosses, okay? They describe this as a next-generation third-person looter shooter featuring high-quality graphics developed using Unreal Engine 5. Now, the director that wrote the blog previously spoke with Game Rant about why they switched from UE4 to UE5. Quote, development had already started on the first Descendant using the latest version of Epic's Unreal 4 engine when Byung-Jin decided that the game needed to make the jump to Unreal 5. The number one motivator for the jump was lighting. Nexon's team was particularly enamored with Unreal 5's capacity to use Lumen, which is Unreal 5's dynamic global illumination and reflection system. So, if you are curious as to why so many devs have been switching to UE5, the folks working on the first Descendant are giving you a pretty strong reason, the lighting. And this isn't surprising. We know lighting is something that is garnering a lot of attention with developers. Ray tracing especially is becoming more popular because of how much it automates the lighting work for the developers. It actually cuts down on development time. So, given how good looking the game looks, I was actually surprised to learn that this game is not only multi-plat, it's landing on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, but it's actually a cross-generationally supported game. Part of me thought, with the jump to UE5, that over time they were going to quietly drop the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, but the blog post restates, they said, as a beta last year, our dev team made sure to improve every aspect of the game, and you will now be able to find those improvements on the PlayStation 4 and 5. So this would have been a great opportunity to say, hey, we had to leave behind PlayStation 4, right? We had to leave behind Xbox One. Hopefully with Unreal 4 and then jumping to Unreal 5, they've been able to optimize this enough to get it to run well on those old consoles. I don't really know why you'd worry about the Xbox One, no shade, but I understand being concerned about landing on the PlayStation 4 given how many of them are in circulation. So they quickly, though, outline in the blog features that will only be coming to the PlayStation 5. So they don't seem bothered at all by letting PlayStation 4 owners know, listen, you're not going to be getting some of this stuff, okay? They say, you know, they don't obviously mention the Xbox X or the Series S because this is a PlayStation blog, okay? We don't know what features they will or will not get in comparison, but they start with graphical features. They say, first, the first Descendant's PlayStation 5 version supports 4K resolution and offers in-game performance and fidelity modes. So they're off to a good start, being that that's a big debate right now with, you know, do we get 60F performance modes in games going forward? I think that we will from devs that, you know, build for PC and PlayStation. We're not sure what that's going to look like for Xbox. There's an ongoing discussion about parity between the X and the S. Even from Xbox outlets are entertaining the idea that things are going to look very different going forward. That's a subject for another day in another live stream. So, what are the details? Well, first they outline the fidelity mode. They say you'll enjoy stunning visuals in 4K resolution through the fidelity mode. With HDR support, you'll encounter high-quality graphics of charming and unique characters, various cosmetic elements, and colorful worlds in 4K resolution. So, this is garden variety PR. Hey, we have a 4K mode, okay? None of this sounds different or weird or out of step from what we've typically heard. And those modes just don't interest me that much. Pushing everything to 4K, pushing the lighting all the way up, and then getting like 30 FPS. Even if you have a really, really strong PC, you're always going to want to tweak those things, because if you shoot too high, you're not going to get consistent FPS. You know, I'm probably in need of upgrading my rig if I really want to push those things all the way, because my 2080 Ti is a great card. But, you know, you want to push 4K and you want to push ray tracing and have all the textures set to ultra, you're probably going to want to have a much stronger rig. So in general, I shy away from those modes. I tend to prioritize frame rate, and this is what they had to say about performance mode. Though the performance mode of up to 60 FPS enabling smooth gameplay, you'll experience splendid fast-paced combat in the First Ascendant. Additionally, we will support variable refresh rate, VRR. You can play in a stable gameplay environment without limits to the frame. So when they say up to 60 FPS language, this is actually common for performance modes. Many of the games I've played on the PlayStation 5, if you go to their blog posts and their advertisements, they all say up to 60, and they have no problem maintaining 60. It's just that sometimes you'll have areas where it doesn't stay exactly at 60, and that's totally fine. I think the main issues are games like Jedi Survivor, where there's constant hitching and screen tearing and frame drops, or like in Final Fantasy 16, that performance mode's been pretty disappointing. It's great in combat, but then they don't do dynamic resolution in exploration or in the town, so your frames are dropping into the 30s and 40s, which for people that want 60 FPS, that's a huge bummer. So when you see up to 60, that's not alarming or concerning, but you know, until we actually have the game and we play it and it launches, we won't know. However, the fact that they're doing an open beta next month in September tells me they're pretty confident in the game and its performance and, you know, and what people are going to think about it, right? I would hope that their continued use of betas and their continued use of, you know, letting people see things behind the scenes, right? You can go to their website and see all of the characters. There's even ultimate versions that are slowly rolling out, and they haven't really explained that in great detail just yet, but their transparency, I think, sort of speaks volumes, right? Then they talk about adaptive triggers in the game on the DualSense controller, and they say the following. In the First Ascendant, each weapon has a different purpose, and we reflect that in the characteristics of each weapon in the adaptive triggers. To make every weapon class feel unique, we set different pressure and intensity values for each of our 11 weapon classes depending on their uses. And I'll just show you guys periodically. I'll just like click on one of the characters just so you can see. Now, I love DualSense controller haptic feedback, okay? I do. I like haptic feedback, but I do not like adaptive triggers at all, okay? It's a giant miss with me. I turn them off in Hitman 3. I turn them off on my PSVR 2 controllers in Synapse because it was making me miss. It's nice for grabbing, like, barrels in Synapse because there's, like, this half-pull trigger thing that you feel. I'd love to have it on for my left hand and off for my gun because you have to squeeze just hard enough. It's not a smooth trigger pull, so my hand would move just enough. I was missing all my shots in Synapse. As soon as I turned it off, I was hitting headshots almost every time. So I just don't like the resistance triggers. I turn this off if I can. So I have found myself doing alt fire by accident in Returnal, so I switched the controls there as well. That is a game that I absolutely love, right? So I just don't think this feature will land on me. It's cool that they're doing it, but this will likely be a quick setting that I go in and disable. And they give an example, and I'm actually sure that, you know, some players will love this, right? They say, for instance, a light handgun's adaptive triggers will be lighter than a heavy launcher or a sniper rifle, with heavier trigger pressures, each proving a unique experience. Yeah, this just sounds like my 20-plus years of shooter muscle memory is going to have a really, really confusing experience. Listen, I love that they put the time into this, and I really hope players enjoy it, but I tend to think this is just an immediate disable for me. I can't stand when it's like I go from one gun to the next, and all of a sudden, the triggers act differently, okay? If you think that's immersive and awesome, sweet, dope. It's cool the controller can do it, and it's cool devs take the time to do it. They went on to talk about haptic feedback. They said, in addition to the vibrations, it has been designed so that the haptic feedback would work in tandem with your character and the controls in the environment. Bringing the game to life, the haptic feedback can be found throughout the game, such as the direction a boss appears and walk towards, the direction to which you're being attacked when you use a gun, and more. Now, many say that haptic feedback is a gimmick, okay? And I really enjoy it. When I use it in things like, you know, Horizon Forbidden West, I think it feels great in Returnal. And if they're going to use it for, like, where you're getting attacked from or boss direction, I'm very interested to see just how effective it is. Now, they also mention haptics with the grappling hook. They said when using the grappling hook, the key to the speed and dynamic controls of the game, the haptic feedback delivers a much more vivid experience on your speed and direction. Again, I think people need to experience haptic feedback to know that it's not a gimmick. I think once you experience it in the right game, you're like, okay, that actually is cool. It's not just like a rumble pack back from the Nintendo 64 days. It's doing unique patterns and sides of the controller and greater or lesser intensity. I really like it. There's games where you can feel the rainfall. I just think things like that are very nice touches for immersion. But it is subjective, okay? Just like adaptive triggers for me, right? Like, I think adaptive triggers are horrible, okay? And, you know, many people think that, you know, the getting feedback and haptic and all that is just not that important. So they quickly talk about how you will be able to utilize PlayStation's 3D audio. They reference an intense boss fight and like a missile flying past you. So they are leveraging the 3D audio of the PlayStation 5. And I actually have to admit, the boss fights actually look really good in this, okay? That's one of the things that really stood out to me in the trailer was the boss fights, okay? And I'm going to talk about that in a moment when I talk about why I see, like, Souls influence, okay? They end by detailing the crossplay beta. The open beta will feature 13 attractive characters, various missions, 9 giant boss raids, and enhanced immersive experiences in combat with the grappling hook when using the DualSense controller. Additionally, we'll have a new prologue and story, a variety of never-before-seen cosmetic items, and a whole revamped character progression system. Apparently, in the previous beta, character progression was, like, really, really criticized, but the fact that they're letting you play 13 characters, various missions, 9 boss raids, they're letting you see a lot of the game, and they're also revamping things. So this, I think, is very encouraging and very promising for the game's future. I do think games like this are going to have to start letting more of the game out into the public and work symbiotically with gamers to get to higher levels of quality and value. We've seen that with Baldur's Gate 3 in their 3 years of early access. So let me give you my thoughts on what we've seen up to now. As I said, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw this, like I try to sometimes just have like a lightning, you know, reaction to something, is I just see Dark Souls meets Destiny, right? And I know that seems weird, but let me explain. First, the obvious Destiny influences are as clear as day. Not surprising, the director told Game Rant that, quote, "We think that Warframe is a great game along with the Destiny series, the Division series, Outriders, Anthem, Borderlands, Halo, etc. Thus, we studied and worked hard to develop our game to stand proudly alongside these prominent titles." I actually like the humility there. Like, look, we're trying to stand, you know, next to, alongside. They're not trying to take from these games. I'm sure if you're familiar with any of those titles, you'll pick up on some of the similarities I am noticing throughout the gameplay, right? There's shielded enemies. There's clearly some type of enemy hierarchy, you know, like trash ads, majors, mini bosses, big, huge bosses. It's really satisfying with respect to movement and shooting, as far as I can tell from the footage. Obviously, Destiny being first person makes this land a bit closer to Warframe in the movement and speed category. But thankfully, it doesn't feel like the sort of speed demon in a hallway that so much of Warframe always felt like to me. I know they've changed the game and there's more open areas, but I always felt that Warframe had that forward momentum, speed, flipping around in tight spaces. I just didn't like it. I did not like the movement and the feel of Warframe. It never really hooked me. This actually seems to be a little bit more open, a little bit more action-oriented. But the reason I'm seeing Souls influence is the boss fights specifically. First, they are all set in very large arenas, which has a very Souls feel to it, right? A big, nice, open circle area or square area to fight in. Alright, second, the size of the bosses combined with the bombastic, highly telegraphed attacks that need to be dodged, okay? They're not just standing still, they're not just sitting in one spot and, you know, and hurling stuff at you and letting trash ads attack you. There's a lot of movement, there's a lot of use of space. The third thing that I notice in the boss fights is even the dodge roll feels similar to Souls, even though it doesn't feature iframes. Iframes are invincibility frames. For those of you that are unfamiliar, the idea is that, hey, while I'm rolling, I cannot take damage at all. I'm invincible in this animation, okay? I'm going to talk about more about that in a second, because I asked in the Discord if there's iframes in the game. I think there's footage in the PlayStation blog specifically that we'll look at that looks like iframes to me. But even though there's no iframes, it leads to really crazy, I think, satisfying timing in big, huge fights like this. So I was a little bit bummed when I was told there are no iframes, okay? Because I actually think that's incredibly satisfying. There's just something very satisfying about fighting a boss the size of a building and timing your dodges when these big, massive attacks come your way. Now, with that in mind, I think that's where this game can stand apart from other looter shooters. Destiny, The Division, Anthem, and Borderlands, they are good in their own rights, okay? But much of their boss fights include hiding or tanking and then just dumping as much damage as you can. Destiny relies heavily on mechanics when you can or cannot hurt the boss, so you're typically optimizing for big damage in a short amount of time. Okay, that's sort of a trope within Destiny boss design. The Division was a lot about cover-based endurance. You're engaging with less elaborate mechanics, but it is more about the cover-based and a lot of bullets and more bullets and just a few more bullets, right? Borderlands and Anthem, there was a lot of tanking. There was a lot of big damage dump cycles. Not a lot of action. Not a lot of moving around. I love the idea of the fight feeling more action-oriented, utilizing dodging, utilizing the space, so it feels like more of a fight. I always pointed out the lack of a lateral dodge or a parry in Destiny's harder content, right? It made the increased damage output of some of their late-stage content just really unfun. Grandmaster Nightfalls would be a great example of, if you had a lateral dodge or the ability to block or parry, the incredibly high damage output would be something you could mitigate, but that content's not designed for that level of damage output. That, I'm not going to get into a big long debate about Grandmaster Nightfalls again, because I don't cover that game anymore, but that was something that I always consistently wanted. Like, man, give me some agility, give me some lateral movement here. And you really get to see that, I think, in some of the footage here, just constantly staying on the move. Some of this is reminiscent of some of my experiences in Remnant 2. So there's definitely room, I think, in the looter shooter genre for a game that brings more action, quick lateral movements, even maybe iframes. While I am bummed this game does not feature iframes, just the movement should bring something special to the genre, given the speed and size of the boss fights. Although I will say that one of the animated GIFs on the PlayStation blog does look like the character rolls through these big white beam attacks and takes potentially no damage. I rewatched it about 20 times, and it honestly looks like it, so maybe they're adding it. I don't know. Maybe they decided that some of the fights are so intense they need to give you ways to mitigate and dodge and get out of the way of damage or just be invincible for a few seconds. In light of just how much comparison I just did, though, I want to talk about the comparison curse, right? I'm reading through Harry Potter to see when I can read through the books with my kiddos, right? So I'm thinking of, like, the Cruciatus curse, right? The comparison curse, okay? The biggest difficulty when looking at games like The First Descendant is I can't unsee all of the other games I've played before. I cannot unsee them. And certainly, game devs admit to taking inspiration from other games. There isn't anything wrong with comparison. There's nothing wrong with pointing out clear similarities between games. But I do think comparisons can hurt a game, okay? It can drive expectations, and the two ditches that you can sort of fall into is too similar or this is not as good as, right? So first, if you carbon copy too much, people will just say you're just a copy of another game, right? You're just a ripoff, you're just budget Destiny or whatever. But then, if you depart too much from base level expectations within the genre, people will say, well, this isn't as good as this other game. So those are your two ditches. Not as good as, and, well, this is just too similar. This is where looter shooters are going to struggle. I've continued to say that I believe somebody somewhere is building the better and bigger looter shooter than Destiny, okay? It's too good of a game, and it's too good of a genre to, you know, not be outdone, okay? They've made too many mistakes in Destiny. They've been running for too long. Somebody out there's got to be learning from their mistakes and building a better game. Or at the very least, just building another really great rival. None of the other games that have come out have really gone the distance. But looter-shooter comparisons seem to be the most damaging of any genre. It also doesn't help that a lot of the big-name looter shooters that have tried, they have failed pretty badly. Anthem and Division come to mind. Sure, Division 2 is in better shape, but it never hit the heights that it could have with a better launch or better planned endgame roadmaps and systems. And that's where I see the First Ascendant facing two big challenges. The first is ongoing content model. I've said time and time again, I do not doubt devs' ability to make fun content. I don't doubt it. It's like, I know you can make fun content. I know you can have me go here, shoot the enemies, get the loot. And if the movement and the action is satisfying, then if the content loop, if the combat loop is good with good reward structure, great. You made a fun game, right? The question is not, can you make a fun game? The question is the game fun after a month? If you don't have good answers to questions like, well, what's bringing the player back each week, each month, or what's the player doing in month 11? If you don't have answers to those questions, then your game will go in the bin with the rest of the failed looter shooter attempts. The second big challenge for games like this, I believe, is when you do art style in the vein of the First Descendant, it's hard to have an identity. When you go for photorealistic third-person action-adventure, it's honestly tough to stand out. I think Horizon Forbidden West is a great example of a game that does the photorealistic, but it has a very clear identity. I could show you a quick snapshot of a single enemy and you would know what game it is from. When your game sort of looks like Atlas Fallen, when your game sort of looks like Project LLL, if it sort of looks like Remnant 2, it can be tough to get consumer buy-in at a large scale, which is necessary for a successful live service game. So I really think games like this should focus on their art style heavily. Wayfinder is an example of a game with what I think has a very good and recognizable art style. I have no idea if Wayfinder will be good. I don't know if it will last, but it's generally a recognizable game. If you see screenshots or enemies or, you know, some of the characters you can play as, you're like, oh, I know what that is. I think the First Descendant is becoming more recognizable. It's kind of like Horizon Forbidden West and Anthem, you know, meets Overwatch, especially when you look at a character like Bunny. So at the end of the day, I think the First Descendant is looking better and is a potentially very promising game. But like all other looter shooters before it, it has a lot to prove. And the first impressions window is a small and unforgiving monster. So let me give you my thoughts and my conclusion on this. The new info, the gameplay, and the impending open beta, it actually gives me a lot of hope for the First Descendant. Obviously, there are concerns about microtransactions, pay to win, you know, those types of things. You never want to see that in these games. And there's also probably concerns about the ongoing content model. Overall, I'm seeing the pieces and the parts of a game that needs to have in place in order to have a good launch. But there is part of me that thinks betas and testing periods should become more common for games like this. Baldur's Gate 3 is not the new expectations, in my opinion. I don't think every game needs to do exactly what they have done. But we can definitely see how 3 years of early access really helped that game. Founders packs and other ways of crowdfunding games like this could be a new path forward for looter live service games. The second thing I want to say is my history with Destiny has me wanting a new looter shooter live service game to come along and be successful. Even when I actively played and covered Destiny, I wanted something to not necessarily compete, but at least coexist. For a brief time, Anthem was that game for me. Being able to cover a new and exciting loot-based game was fun, and I liked having something else in the market, but Anthem fizzled out faster than a bottle rocket. My conclusion is this. Is The First Descendant the next big looter shooter? Well, I couldn't say. And I actually think the game that gets to wear the crown of next big looter shooter is going to happen slowly over time. I don't think this will be an explosive overnight success situation when we decide, hey, this looter shooter's doing well, it's got good growth, look at the player numbers. I don't think that happens overnight. New World is a great example of being crushed by the sweet embrace of too many people and not enough content funnels ready for the incredible demand. So First Descendant has a lot to prove, not just because of the game itself, but the looter shooter genre and its history makes it pretty tough, and you've got a lot to climb over. The question is, are they up for the challenge? And more importantly, can they go the distance? And that is the show open. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Right on time, as always, almost right on the money. A 30-minute show open. Thank you, Jazzterfication, for 14 months in a VIP. And thank you for Geek to Sneak, both of you renewing. Geek to Sneak doing a member plus, and both of you have gold badges. You guys went crazy the last two Fridays, so the gauntlet today is, can you speed run to 4,500? The stretch goal of 4,500 is to get my wife and I to play Mortal Kombat, which we would never do. So feel free to go crazy today with members. Friday morning is a great time because it's mostly the core audience. Make sure you guys are smashing the like button as well. There's like 500 people here. Let's shoot for 200 likes. Appreciate you guys so much. And then in about an hour, we'll be doing the Reforge recap, a recap of the weekly gaming stories. McDio9 throws his hat in the ring and says, all right, well, let's get started. You guys have a little over 4,000 members at current, so you'd need another record-breaking day on the channel. And here come the renewals, as well as a gifted Voided Reality with 8 months, Ravenstorm with 21 months, and TaylorMade with 15 months in a VIP. Thank you guys so much. TaylorMade says, always love. And Raven says, yeehaw. DK Bager, the ever faithful single gifted champion of the world, gifts another member, and it goes to two. Thank you so much, DK Bager. Semi-new here, great channel, my friend. Thank you. Curious where you guys land on this. They've not really explained what Ultimate is. This is Ultimate Lepic. Now, Lepic is a character that they already have. All it says is he becomes more powerful, having reached the similar level of the with the ancestors. He plays over the battlefield with his powerful prosthetic right arm and grenade. So, I don't know if this is like, when you get to the end game, does your character change? I actually wasn't able to get an answer to that. I spent enough time writing the monologue on its own, and then I went to their Discord to find out if there was any iframes. Joker Quinn gifts a member, and so does Parasito, taking the count to four, and brand new to the channel, and he gets a gifted member, Dad T Gamer. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here. Congrats on getting that membership. Appreciate you so much. And hope you guys enjoy the show. Curious where you guys land on this. If you guys have checked this game out, I'm excited to try out the beta next month. I do think an open beta shows promise and confidence. I do know there's a Wayfinder beta going on right now. I haven't had a chance to try it out. I was going to try it out yesterday afternoon. They had an issue. Ragnarok bumps it to 5, and he's going to tempt one of the big boys with a 20-bomb layup. A 20-bomb layup would take us all the way to 25 just that fast, and Ragnarok is tempting it. Which game is this? This game is called First Descendant, and if you go to their homepage, First Descendant, here you go. You can scroll down. They'll always feature one of the characters right here, and so this is Freyna. Now, they don't show you all of their abilities here, like Venom, Baptism, Defense Mechanism, Decomposed Poison, and Dead Room. Okay, she actually has a fifth one, so if you go to View Other Characters, it takes you here. And they have shown all but these three. Now, these are coming soon. Now, Ultimate Viessa is right here. Viessa is a debuffer, and she immobilizes enemies with cold air and occasionally freezes them up. Yo, Dad T Gamer doing it the right way. He pays it forward and he gets a member, but then he gifts one, takes us to 6. But then Kale bumps the line to 11 with 5 gifted members. Thank you so much, Kale. I love to see that. I love to see a gifted member gift one back. If you got a gifted member today or any time recently, feel free to pay it forward. You guys could go crazy right now and hit the stretch goal just like that. Ultimate Lepic is a craftable character. You run missions for a chance to drop the materials needed. Ultimate characters basically get reduced cooldowns, more damage. They're a separate character like Warframe Prime Rigs, basically a prestige character. Thank you, both Parasito and Barrier, explaining that to me. Yo, what's good, Cowboy? He says, I'm excited to see this game is finally getting close to coming out, since I was excited when it was called Project Magnum. Yeah, we had this one tucked away as a game to keep an eye on back when it was called Project Magnum. I actually really think they chose with a better name. I think The First Descendant is far better than Project Magnum. And when you go to the site, you can see here, you can get, she has Ice Sphere, she has Ice Beam, she has Frost Fog, Ice Wave, and Blizzard, right? And you can just go through the characters and see all the different things that they have. Eric Phillips, game looks good, might end up being a good shooter. Thank you for a $2 super chat tip. Hate Army with 4 months says, do we think custom characters for a looter shooter is better or worse? I would think most people want to create their own avatar. What say you? That's an excellent question. I actually think, historically speaking, you can do it both ways, but when you want people to really fulfill like a role, like this guy is a utility dealer, I do think you kind of have to create archetypes and classes that you pick, and then you customize within that, right? 5 more gifted members from Nobody, and he bumps the line to 6. We have a 5 gifted member train starting. If you guys want to jump on, do it. Throw your hat in the ring and do a 5 gifted. Kale did one, and now Nobody's doing one. Hit that dollar sign at the bottom of the chat and gift some members. We appreciate it. We are having a nice, strong start to our Friday morning. They have not talked about monetization, Eugene. No, obviously that's a concern. Many people look at Nexon with a raised eyebrow. They're like, oh, here we go. You know, these guys are gonna, you know, make their game pay to win or have, you know, bad micros. That is definitely something that we have heard. I can enlarge the font here for you guys, and I'll click through let me lower it just one click so that we can have it kind of all on the screen. So that's Turret Sync, and then there's Assault Turret. You guys can pause the VOD if you want to read these. Medical Turret, Multi-Purpose Gun, and Total Recall. So you've got all these different things you can do with each character. I'll quickly go through, and that way if anybody's watching this, they can like pause if they want to read all these various abilities instead of going to the site. Sharon is a close range dealer. Thank you, Hendrix Podcast, for jumping back in for 16 months. They have an assassinator for the passive, and then the 4 actives are cutoff beam and active camouflage and shock nuts and lights out. Interesting choice of some ability names there. Glay, looking like your science teacher, you know, high school science teacher fantasy. Passive skill is Death Sensor or Death Sensor. And then active skills, we have Berserk and Life Extraction and Requiem and Nosferatu. So these are, that's where I feel like this game's got some influence a little bit. JW continues the five bomb gifted member train, and he drops a five bomb on the chat and bumps the line to 21. Thank you so, so much for doing that. JW, if you guys get a gifted member, consider paying it forward. Gotcha Games are shutting down and shutting down games really fast. Yeah, they have a history of that. So that's one of people's concerns. Lono's favorite ability is Shocknox. Yeah. Patrick Q gifts a member and bumps the line to 22. Thank you so much, Patrick Q. Guys, don't let the five bombs and the big bombs dissuade you. Don't let them dissuade you. You guys can do singles, man. Do a single gifted train. Can't do five. No, singles work, baby. Singles work. Good morning. Reforged Roast is hitting and helping immensely. A 10 bomb from Borbs, one of the people that started watching recently because he saw me in Salt content and he liked the show. Been here a lot and been gifting members a lot. Joke's on y'all. Hate works backwards for people that create good content. Thanks so much, Borbs, for gifting 10 members. Taking us to 32, surpassing 25 and being the go-ahead and doing Agent of Chaos. Let's take a look at the next guy, Blair, here. Blair's an interesting name for this guy, but that's the name, right? Blair sounds like, you know, a middle-aged woman's name. Anyway, Dot Dealer. So he's a Dot Dealer, damage over time dealer. And so flames, right? His passive skill is called Flame Manipulation. His active skills are Stove On, Stove Off, Flambe, and Chef's Star. So there you go. If you're wanting to pause this later to read all the text. And then Bunny, her trailer hilariously starts with like her butt. I was like, that's really what we're doing? That's what we're doing. And so yeah, Bunny, she reminds me kind of an Overwatch character. There you go. There's her backside again for everybody interested. She's got Dynamo, Electro Orb, Joyride, Pulsar, and Circuit Breaker. The skill names are meh. I don't think skill names matter as much as when you're using them, right? I don't think that matters nearly as much. Any plans to play Destiny 2's new expansion? I do not play or, you know, cover that or do anything with Bungie. Brayna is another Dot Dealer here, looking like a poison Dot Dealer, as far as I can tell. She has a passive skill called Unauthorized Bullet, Venom Baptism, Defense Mechanism, Decomposed Poison, and Dead Room. So again, I'm not reading the descriptions. If you guys want to come back and pause these. So Ultimate Lepic, we don't need to look at him. We can look at Lepic. It's all the same abilities. He's just got better cooldowns and better damage when he's in his ultimate form, which I've been told is like a prime form or a prestige form. So make sure you guys are smashing the like button and gifting members, keeping everything going. We're having a nice strong start. We're going through the first Descendant gameplay details here. Bunny is a broken character, OP, in the closed beta. Well, the open beta is a month away, so I'm sure there'll be adjustments made, right? So Lepic, he's an AoE dealer. He has 9 lives, grenade, power stream, traction grenade, and arm launcher. So that's Lepic. If you're interested in all of these classes, Ajax is the one you're seeing on a lot of the promotional materials. Obviously, this helmet looks straight out of Destiny. There's a lot of Destiny influence in this game. Ajax is a tank dealer, not surprising at all. He has Void Vault as his passive, and then his 4 actives are Reversed Door, Void Walk, Expulsion, and Hypercube. Thank you so much, Graydon, for gifting a member, bumping the line to 33. There's almost 500 people here. We have a big stretch goal of 4,500 members. You guys have gone crazy the last couple of Fridays. If you hijack the stream and go crazy with members, that's okay with me. We did that 2 weeks in a row, and you guys are already off to a really strong start, so thank you. Ajax was fun, super tanky, says Parasito. One of my buddies said the company that makes Warframe is coming out with another game. Digital Extremes currently has that game available. It is called Wayfinder, and it has a demo beta on both Steam and PlayStation 5 right now. Go search, try it out. They were having some issues yesterday. I didn't get a chance to try it. Now, I think we looked at Viessa. She has Ice Sphere, Ice Beam, Frost Fog, Ice Wave, and Blizzard. I feel like we looked at her. Did we read through Jaber's stuff? I don't think we... No, yeah, we read through Jaber's stuff, all of his turrets. We read through Jaber, we read through Sharon, we read through Glay, Blair, Bunny, Freyna, and Ultimate Levic. Yeah, we've read through them all. Okay, cool. Let me go to the full character list. I don't think we miss anybody. No, we went through everybody. Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. That is that's the full run through paid early access. Oh, that's right. You have to pay to play Wayfinder, don't you? Don't you have to pay $20 for a founder pack? I am sorry. That's bad communication on my part. Oh, you're thinking of Soulframe. Oh, yeah, that's right. They are. What, you know, the guys from Warframe are making a game that we're assuming is going to be kind of like a Souls-like Warframe game. I don't know how that exactly how that works, but yeah, it's called Soulframe. Let me turn on the alerts for coffee as well. We had some coffee orders yesterday. Let me go to the PlayStation blog. I just want to show you guys why I think there might be iframes in the game. Now, people were telling me that there are no iframes, okay? I went to the Discord, and they're like, no, there's no iframes. And I was like, okay, fine. That's kind of disappointing, but this particular animated GIF right here, this just looks like she's going to roll through these beams. I don't know about you, but it seems like she doesn't take damage. Now, again, we have no HUD, we have no health bar. Now, we do see white pop up on the screen around the edges, so maybe she does, in fact, take some damage. There's like a bit of a flash there. So, I'm not arguing that there is iframes, but this is what made me think there would be iframes in the game. I always think in combat like this, that's so fun to have that. It does actually look like she takes a little bit of damage now that I'm looking at it. That white, if you watch the edges of the frame, it'll kind of flash white twice, like she gets hit twice by the first beam and then the second beam that she kind of rolls through. It ends up hitting her on the second time. So I don't think you need iframes in a game like this. I just think that really would have been a creative take on these arenas and these areas, these bosses. They're massive. Let me pull open the gameplay and let's just let this loop for a second so I can show you. Like, the areas in the, like, look at this guy. Like, that's why I feel like Soul's influence is present in this game. Like, the size of these bosses and their weapons and the things that they have, that's where I think the art style really shines, honestly. It's in the bosses more than the characters. The characters just kind of remind me of Overwatch characters a little bit. They don't necessarily have super distinct identities. Maybe the white means good dodge. Yeah, generally you don't get an on-screen indication when you successfully dodge or use iframes. You just don't take any damage at all, right? So, there's the trailer for Bunny, but this is the trailer where the areas and the biomes, okay, they look cool. Arenas are cool. There's a shield, kind of reminding me a little bit of Destiny, you know, with some shielded enemies. Clearly different, you know, those guys remind me of, like, you know, Cabal Phalanx shields. A lot of influence here from Destiny. Look at this guy. Like, the size of the bosses, man, that's where I see Souls. Like, this looks like something out of a Dark Souls game. This guy here, you know? And the attacks and the fire, and it's like almost like a little bit medieval looking too. It doesn't look super futuristic, but then you have, you know, enemies like this that 100% look futuristic and alien-esque and, you know, Destiny-esque. This guy blasting through. It looks like the environments can be destructible in the fights, right? Some of the areas that you're trying to fight behind. That guy looks kind of like the spider tank, the fallen spider tanks or whatever they're called in Destiny. He kind of reminds me of that. So, you know, I'm excited to jump in. That reminds me of Vault of Glass. I'm excited to jump in, obviously, you know, but I think the question with looter shooters always comes down to, I think the question is always, what am I doing in the third month? What am I doing in the 11th month? I don't even know if you can launch a successful ongoing looter shooter without outlining that. What's your content plan? right? But how are you going to keep the game going? You know, it's because people are like, well, why does every game have to be live service? Why does every game have to be live service? Generally speaking, once you start checking these boxes, I don't see how a game like this wouldn't be live service. It's almost like an expectation. It's like, okay, there's three people you're running around in a lot of the footage, three or four people running around. And then, in addition to those people running around, you've got boss fights, you've got loot, you've got, you know, you're clearly seeing co-op gameplay. I think all those things come with expectations of that's an ongoing game. That's a game that I'm going to play for a while. That's not a game I'm going to play for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Each character has some sort of dodge or damage mitigation mechanic, not necessarily iframes, but definitely a way to counter attacks. That was always something that drove me crazy in the harder Destiny content. It was like, I don't have a lateral dodge. Like, I can't get out of the way. You know what I mean? The beta was unimpressive, says Wheezy. I heard that the beta, people didn't really find, they didn't really want to go back. There was issues with progression. So apparently the beta coming next September is going to feature a completely revamped progression system. Like, that's what the PlayStation blog said. The interesting thing to me is that PlayStation's getting behind the marketing of this game. I don't know if they've seen anything that they think, you know, is promising. I don't know if they signed the deal beforehand. I don't know if they've got a history with Nexon. I'm not really sure, but the fact that PlayStation is doing the marketing and the trailers and doing, you know, blog posts and, you know, haptic feedback stuff, that to me could be a good sign. I'm not saying it is, but it could be a good sign that, you know, Sony sees value here, you know, it's a live service game. It's multi-platform as well. I wonder if they had Bungie take a look at it. Well, I don't know if they would do that because it's not one of their own studios and the game is going to land on Xbox. So that might not have happened. I don't know. I just can't bother with these until I see how they're monetizing. I see monetization being 100% related to, you know, what's the ongoing content model, right? What's the ongoing content model? What's are you doing seasons? Are you doing DLC? Are you just going to be shoving out raid bosses? I mean, the beta next month has all 13 characters available and like 9 raid boss fights. I'm like, what? How are you doing that? I think I saw a Shank. Watch. Yeah, right there. They really have taken a lot of inspiration from Destiny. This floating guy right here. There he goes. It looks like a Shank to me. Sony also saw value in Forspoken and Callisto. That is true. That is true. No, it's not a battle royale. It's a looter. It's a looter game. It's next on. The monetization is going to be something. I'm just curious how bold, like, does Nexon have a history of bringing games to the West and doing that? Or are they starting to experiment with, well, let's launch games in the West and let's do monetization the way they do with, you know, cosmetics and skins and stuff? Because if this game comes here and they do, you know, gacha, they do pay to win, I don't see the West accepting that. Like, I think Genshin's the exception. Like, I don't think you're going to get a bunch of people that are suddenly going to decide that, like, oh no, gotcha and pay to win's totally, totally fine. Nexon historically shuts down games. Underperform. Callisto's solid. I mean, Callisto wasn't solid at launch. Callisto Protocol struggled at launch. It did not get rave reviews and response. A 69 on PS5 Metacritic from the review outlets, a 68 from the users, a 68 Metacritic PC from the reviewers, and then a 5.4 from the users, a 70 on Xbox Metacritic from the critics, and a 6.7 from the users. I mean, what did they do to the game? Overall rating on Steam for Callisto Protocol is mixed, 62%. In the last 30 days, mixed, 67%. I don't see any signs of that game being in better shape. It's still a bad game. It's in the 60s, and it's in the 60s, low 70s everywhere. That's terrible. I can't imagine that game being worth playing. I mean, maybe now if they got rid of some of the problems. For reference, in the free-to-play MMO gacha communities, Nexon is pretty much universally hated. I just wonder if they're delving into a looter-shooter game, would they change their ways? Or maybe not change their ways, but would they just say, this is more effective in looter shooters. It's more effective to do a cosmetic store and seasons, or a cosmetic store and, you know, DLC. Character craft boosting, more inventory slots, buying parts for characters, cosmetics, etc. From what I remember in the closed beta. I just played it for the first time a few weeks ago, fully patched and content out. I just recently played through Callisto, and I believe Eugene did as well. The game has a really good story. There's some annoying stuff with it, but it's far better state than at launch. They've spoken to this, have they not? I thought they spoke specifically in a blog post about pay to win. Nexon, or was it on Steam? First Ascendant, pay to win. I thought for sure they were like on Steam. Here we go from September of 2022. Nexon's the first Descendant monetization model to not deviate from games in same genre, according to the boss. So, here we go. How are you approaching monetization for First Descendant as a free-to-play game? Will you charge for specific characters, stages, or gear? Lee Byom Jun says, I believe that many players are curious and concerned about this. Since we have been running on the same track and direction since the beginning of development, we were surprised to see that after our game reveal, many players were concerned about the excessive pay-to-win aspects of Nexon's games. Ultimately, we aspire not to pursue excessive pay-to-win aspects. We've read this before, I'm remembering. The monetization model will also not deviate significantly from games of the same genre. Paid products will indeed exist, but the characters, equipment, and stages that are needed for gameplay and progress in the game can be earned through gameplay. So, the fact that they said we don't want to pursue excessive pay-to-win, it's like, well, okay, is there going to be some, right? I remember reading these reviews. It also is interesting to me that they're saying, well, we're not going to deviate from what works within the genre. Okay, well, what works in the genre is cosmetics, battle passes, and seasons. And if they're saying, listen, everything that you need to play the game, the characters, the stages, and progress, it can all be earned. So, you know, not deviate significantly. Sounds like Genshin. I wouldn't say a live service looter shooter is what they're speaking. If they're speaking about live service looter shooter, that's not common, right? I don't think that's common. I don't know if they're saying their game is a gacha game, right? I don't know if they're saying that. It sounds to me like they're saying, oh, our game is going to be just like all these other games out here that do looter shooter. They have skins, they have cosmetics, they have seasons, they have battle passes, right? The genre is Genshin. I mean, that simply isn't true. The PlayStation blog post opens up and describes it as a third-person looter shooter game. What's Genshin? How is Genshin described? Genshin is an action role-playing game developed by miHoYo. Like, action role-playing game? I mean, it's hard to know when we get into these nebulous terms of, well, this is an action role-playing game, and this is a third person. This is how they describe it in the PlayStation blog. They say, The First Ascendant is a next-generation third-person looter shooter featuring high-quality graphics developed in Unreal 5. That's not Genshin. Third-person looter shooter is how they define the game. This is the same person that did that interview, by the way, that said, well, we're not going to deviate from other games in the genre. This game's being described as a looter shooter, and if you look at other looter shooters, whether you look at Division 1 and 2, you look at Anthem, you look at Borderlands, you look at Destiny, they're likely going to replicate a lot of what we've seen. Like, there's so much There's so much in the trailer that looks like Destiny, it wouldn't shock me at all if this game comes out and has very similar setups to Destiny. A micro store with a bunch of cosmetics, seasonal battle passes, they'll chuck out a bunch of new raid boss fights and new things to earn, you know, new outfits for your characters and stuff. Like, I don't know. Genshin's a gacha action game. Genshin isn't a third-person looter. I don't know. That's not how I'm finding it described on the internet. I've not played Genshin. Genshin's being described as a action role-playing game. It's an open-world action RPG, according to Genshin's own website. Genshin.hoyoverse.com. Genshin Impact is an open-world action RPG. Like, that they're not defining it as a third-person looter shooter. I'm not saying there aren't similarities. I'm saying I don't think we can look at this interview and say, oh yeah, that she's talking about, or he or she is talking about gacha games, right? In this interview, Byung-Jun Lee wrote this article for Sony. They wrote the article. Look, right here. Experience the first Ascendant open beta with immersive DualSense control features. And then Byung-Jun Lee right here. That's the same person that did the interview that said, we're not going to deviate from other games in this genre. Well, what's the game genre? Right here. The First Ascendant is a next-generation third-person looter shooter featuring high-quality graphics developed in Unreal 5. Check my last comment, says Chris. Maybe they don't mean other looter shooters. Maybe they just mean free-to-play games. Have they established... Is this game going to be free-to-play? Have they said that? Have they established that anywhere? First Descendant... Or have they said that in any, like, interviews... or their Discord? Is it a free-to-play game? The First Ascendant crossplay beta. Okay, da-da-da-da-da. It'll be free-to-play. Well, this is just saying that the beta will be free-to-play. Do we know if it's going to cost money to buy the game? Play the crossplay beta now. You've been invited to play. Click play now. Okay. Read about and downloads. Oh, hang on. So this is telling me I can play it right now? Oh, they have said it will be free to play. Okay. Let's see here. First Descendant. Play now. It's letting me play now, according to Steam. I don't think the beta goes live till next month. I mean, this might just be... app's not released. Yeah, it's letting you click play now in Steam, but then it'll tell you that the app's not released yet. Yeah, Wayfinder is a little bit different. They do like Founders Packs. I think the minimum you have to play, the minimum you have to pay to play Wayfinder is $20, I think. The $19.99 to get into Wayfinder. Well, you have to pay $20 to play right now. So Wayfinder will be free to play when it officially launches, I guess. I wasn't sure if it was one of those games where you at least have to buy a Founders Pack. What I'm hearing is I don't need to rush through my current gaming to-do list. I mean, I'm going to definitely check it out next month when they do when they do the First Ascendant open beta. I'm definitely going to dive into First Ascendant gameplay, I'm definitely doing that. There's that boss again. I really, really like the boss design. That guy looks awesome. I'm telling you, there's Souls influence in this game with the bosses. They went for big, iconic, almost medieval looking bosses. I need to schedule. Get it for 12. To support you diving in and save me the trouble. Yeah, I mean, we've covered this before. Last time we covered it, I feel like we got stuck in this rut of we rather than discuss like live service games, looter shooters, the comparison curse, we discuss how it's going to suck, it's going to be bad, it's going to be gotcha, Nexon's terrible, it's just not conducive to conversation, but here we are yet again. I've been hesitant to cover this game for that main reason. We end up not talking about the game. We end up looking at the same interviews and the same statements and coming to the same presumptive conclusions about a game that's not even out yet. Again, I wonder if some of these companies are trying to bring games to the West and hoping to tap in to successful formats in the West. If you look at the success of Fortnite, if you look at the recent success, or at least formats of Diablo and No Man's Sky, you know, ongoing format is I think changing shape in some respects. So there's not necessarily this idea that, like, well, if we're gonna make a game and bring it over to America, we're gonna ham fist gotcha, you know, down their throats. I don't know if Genshin is the catalyst that we think it is. I really don't. I don't know if a game like that can come out and be successful and have like blatant pay to win and blatant gotcha mechanics. I don't know if that's going to be a thing. You know, I get the concern. I do. I don't think the concern is in. I don't think the concern is like invalid. But I do think sometimes, like, when we have these discussions, it's like, well, there's no discussion to be had then. It's just going to be a crap game from a crap company. Steam agrees with you. Is this game relevant to you? Similar to games you've played? Yeah, they have Warframe and Elden Ring. Interesting. I wonder if that's just because it's third person, though. It could be a lot simpler than that. Okay. There we go. Diablo 4 is pay to win. There's nothing pay to win in Diablo. Have Noxon made a game that isn't gotcha or just terrible monetization? I don't know. That's not something that I did in my research. I wrote a 30-page monologue and put out some pretty great ideas, but I guess, you know, let's just piss our time away talking about Nexon. Let's do that instead. Sure. Let's do that instead, guys, you know? We talked about their Souls and Destiny and Warframe influence. We talked about the comparison curse. I talked about live service. I talked about looter comparisons can hurt. But let's just, once again, the second time I try to cover the game, let's just piss away an hour moaning and whining about Nexon and how the game's going to be terrible and not worth playing and have terrible monetization. That'll be a good use of our time. I think we should do that instead. The hardcore are fed up with this type of thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't think that there's room for that. I don't think games like that are going to get traction. I don't think they will. I feel like Genshin is the exception to the rule. I feel like Genshin snuck up on everybody, right? I feel like Genshin snuck up on everybody. I've not seen games pull that off successfully. I haven't. Like, I'm not even defending this game and saying it's going to be great, but, like, I'd rather have a conversation about other big idea topics and things that I threw out there, not, well, this, you know, is the game going to have trashy monetization because of other games that they've made in the past? I just, you know, we have so many games out right now in the West that make insane amounts of money, and they don't do any of that crap. They don't. We have Warzone, we have Fortnite, you know, Immortal pulled it off. Yeah, but you could even argue that Immortal was, again, I think, of a rare instance of capitalizing on a very popular franchise name, right? Are there tons of other mobile dungeon crawlers doing that and making the money that they made? Again, I just think that's an exception. It's like, well, that's freaking... that's Diablo. Like, if another game would have come out and tried to do that, I don't think it would have survived. JC with a gifted member, thank you so much. Taking us to 34. Oops. Thank you so much. I mean, I fought the last couple times Creature has tried to tell me we should cover First Descendant, I've declined because I'm like, I know what it's going to turn into. We're not going to talk about anything but the apparent awfulness of what this game will be because it's Nexon. Aren't we tired of pay to win, pay to play, game pass, battle pass, money, 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 BS? I mean, NBA has a battle pass. Aren't we getting tired of this? I'm not tired of a battle pass if I want to play the game ongoing. If I was having a blast in Diablo 4, I don't care about them having a battle pass. I would have bought the battle pass. I would have been grinding it and going for the loot. So it's Creature's idea? Well, no. He looks at the scope of subjects and games that are out there, and he says, hey, these guys have been talking. They're getting ready to do something. I think we should circle back and revisit this game. And the last time I told him, I was like, I don't want to cover that. I said, because that's all chat's going to turn in. It's just going to turn into a Nexon bashing fest, and we're not going to talk about anything of substance. It's not going to be an interesting conversation. And so I shot it down the last couple of times because it was like I tried to bring up this game one time. I was excited. I thought all the gameplay looks good. And I got 5 minutes into talking with the live stream and the game was shredded, decried as garbage. And it was like, oh, okay, I guess we shouldn't have done this. Like, it just, I don't know. It's like, if you think the game's going to be terrible, you think Nexon's terrible, you know, then, you know, there's, I guess maybe don't watch content about First Descendant. And then when it comes out, either come in and say, this is what I was worried about. Because you guys know me. If this game comes out and has terrible monetization and is bad, I'm going to shred it. But until we have information and facts, it's like, I don't know what the point of that is. Just assuming that it's going to be, you know, terrible. The other challenge is everybody hates monetization right now. You would think if it's going to be a big departure, they'd say it. I wish they'd let me know. Well, I, you know, who knows with language barrier, that interview sounded kind of funny. It was like they basically acknowledged that Nexon games have pay to win. And they said, well, this thing's not going to have excessive pay to win. It's not going to deviate from other games in the genre. And it's like, we don't know exactly what they meant. Did they mean that we're going to mimic other looter shooters? Or are they saying we're going to mimic other Nexon games in this genre? I just don't know. It read like. Like there's slight potential language barrier there of what exactly are you saying? What was the game that we were listening to recently where they said the word gacha in a live stream? Wasn't that Wayfinder? I think it was Wayfinder. And like everybody freaked out because they said the word gacha. And it was like we had no idea what exactly they meant when they said it because we were dealing with a language translation issue. I think that was Wayfinder. There's a bunch of games, right? There's a bunch of games coming out in this vein that are trying to do the more action-style combat. That's right. It was Blue Protocol. Thank you. Blue Protocol did a stream and said the word gotcha, and everybody lost their dadgum mind. If everyone doesn't like monetization, why are they still paying for it? Right, FCAT? Said a lot without saying anything. You just never know. It's like, do they want to get into... Do they want to come out and say, oh, we're not going to be like these other games that we've made. Like, you can't come out and slam your own content and say, oh yeah, we're not doing that. Those games suck or those games are bad. Like, that doesn't... The optics on there, when you represent a company and you represent property, that would be like, imagine when Blizzard came out and was fielding questions about pay to win and Diablo Immortal. And if they were like, yeah, we're not doing any of that nonsense. We're not doing what Diablo Immortal did. They just kept focusing on Diablo 4 will not have pay for power. It will not have this. I argued up one side and down the other with people. They're like, no, they're going to do it. They're going to change it. And I kept saying, I was like, read the Blizzard interviews. They've made it crystal clear. There will be no ability for you to buy, you know, power. And so when I look at this interview with Nexon, it's like, that could go either way. They're saying everything I need to play, the characters, the stages, and progress can all be earned in the game. So unless they're going to be selling speed up to level or you know, power, like loot, then you're going to run into a bunch of the cliche pay-to-win problems of, oh, well, you can pay and you don't have to grind for loot, or, well, you got to progress and progression takes forever, and because progression is going to take forever, we're going to let you pay to speed it up, right? Because I call that the art of the squeeze. They squeeze you so hard in the game, natural progression is so slow that you're more prone to spend money. They basically pit your own progress against you. It's like, well, you spent a bunch of time with this character, and now we're going to charge you money. So sure, like, I'm sure there'll be a ton of things in the game that could potentially be problematic. But I could also see games coming to the West and saying, look at Fortnite and Warzone, and I would even say look at Diablo 4. They're making tons of money with cosmetics, battle passes, and seasons. They're not doing pay to win, they're not doing gacha, and they're making tons of money, right? Look at it this way. A lot of the times we look at the Asian market or the Korean market, you know, China and Japan, we say those cultures have seemingly been more receptive to pay to win and gacha, okay? Not gacha like I gotcha, but like gacha, like G-A-C-H-A, gacha. They're more receptive to it. Who's to say that Korean developers, you know, Japanese or Chinese developers aren't looking at the West, aren't looking at America and saying, they spend lots of money and here's what they tend to spend money on. They're more interested in vanity items. They're more interested in battle passes. And therefore, we could go over there and be very successful and do what they are, you know, receptive to. If we take gacha over there, if we take pay to win over there, that ends up getting ridiculed and it could be very bad for your game, especially when your game is free to play. If your game is free to play, it's like, well, I'm not playing this. I played for a week and it's clearly just a bunch of pay to win stuff. They know the influence of YouTubers and content creators. You get some big MMO guy, you get some big guy like, you know, Asmongold saying, no, that game's pay to win trash. That's going to affect your ability to be successful in our market. DK Bager gifts a member. The gifted members have slowed down. Bumps the line to 35. Guys, smash that like button. This topic didn't go where we wanted it to, and so we're kind of in a holding pattern while we wait to go to the Reforge recap, the weekly recap of weekly gaming news. We'll do that in about 8 minutes. Thank you guys so much for being here today, smashing like, gifted members, and doing all of the things. So many gifteds already, and we appreciate that very, very much. The huge stretch goal ain't happening this week. That's okay. My wife's looking for the Jar Jar outfit, and then the stretch goal can happen. It can happen next week. You guys are well within reach of hitting it. Solemn says, the monetization fatigue is similar to Battle Pass fatigue. You only have but so much time for so many battle passes, as well as money for every game trying to make you spend it in 50 different ways. Well, that's kind of similar to the line of thinking where people are like, you can only play so many live service games at once, right? Like, there's only so much time. There's only so much time in a week. There's only so much pie of the player bases that you can try to slice off of, right? So I do think that's going to be a challenge for any game that wants to do a battle pass, for any game that wants to do live service. That's going to be a challenge. Is it's like, well, I only have so much time in the week, man, and your game is really, really asking for a whole lot of grind here, you know? And I don't think you'll see people spend money in a game like First Descendant if it doesn't hook them. That's always the concern, right? Is like, well, in order for me to catch up and stay up in your game, I have to grind like crazy. You're telling me I can swipe my credit card and I can bypass the grind. Well, they're only going to do that if you've hooked them in the game. And that could work in our favor, right? Games like this will struggle to get traction if they're set up that way, because you're already playing Warzone or Fortnite or Destiny or Diablo or any other game that's ongoing and demanding your time. So I don't think a game like this can be like, yeah, come play our game. It's super grindy, but you can spend money to bypass the grind. And people are going to say, bro, there's so many games I can play right now that are completely free, or, you know, a one-time fee, and I can play for thousands of hours. I feel like actually that's in our favor. I feel like games that come over to the West, come to America, or just come to the gaming market in general, and if they're going to try and do, you know, gacha and pay to win and ooh, it's grindy, but you can spend money to bypass the grind, I don't think games like that are going to have a good time because there's too many other games that you can play. It's we've talked about this recently. If your game launches and it's not ready or it's buggy or it has problems, it's really easy to put it down. Why? Well, there's so many games out that I can play right now. If you have a free-to-play game that comes out and it's really easy to sniff out the problems with the monetization and pay-to-win or gacha or whatever, just like we've said with other games, it's really easy to put that game down. Like, no, I'm not playing your stupid game. I'm not paying the win, right? Now, Genshin is in a different scenario. I feel like when Genshin hit its stride, we were in the sicky stay-at-home thing. And so people were more apt to play a game like that. Like, it kind of hit, like, at a nice drought time. If you really think about when Genshin hit and hit its stride, we were in a drought. We were in a gaming drought. Destiny was in a gaming drought because there was a Destiny YouTuber that exploded with Genshin. Why? Well, there's nothing going on in Destiny. So Genshin, honestly, if Genshin didn't exist in America in the West and suddenly tried to come to market right now, I think it would struggle. I don't know if it would be as successful because it's like there's so many other games to play. I don't want to play. I'm not playing your crap. I'm not doing that. Now, obviously, they could play the sucker punch thing where once you have sunk costs in the game, then you suddenly start realizing, oh, this game's got bad practices. Genshin is an outlier. It can get away with things that new games will not be able to get away with, not for more than a very short period of time. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think we ended up this actually has been a pretty decent conversation, even though we're not really talking about the first Descendant. We're more big picture. I don't think the pay-to-win, gacha, aggressive monetization structure of, you know, Korean or, like, you know, more like Chinese, more Asian-developed games, those cultures seemingly are more receptive to it. I don't think that gets a foothold here, at least not right now. I don't think so. Because there's too many games and not enough time. If you sit down and try to do a play session with Wayfinder or Blue Protocol or The First Descendant, and you quickly sniff out the fact that this game's just trying to squeeze money out of me, this game's just doing this thing where they pit my own progress against me, you know, they're making it really, really hard for me to level or earn or win, you'll put that game down so frickin' fast, you're like, I'm not playing this game. You know, a lot of us did it. Now, Diablo Immortal is a bad example because it's been really, really successful. But again, I feel like Diablo Immortal, number one, it hit a different market. It hit the mobile market. Number two, it landed during a drought. And number three, it's Diablo. It's got huge brand recognition. But a lot of us did that with Diablo. We were like, no, I'm not playing that. If Diablo didn't have its brand recognizable name, if it wouldn't have landed on mobile and landed on like console and PC, and if it would have landed like right now, imagine Diablo 4 landing set up the way that Immortal was set up. How good of a game do you think that would be right now as far as consumer base and money and as far as like people playing? It would have been outrage. It'd be like, what is this? And everybody would have gone off and played something else. And Baldur's Gate 3 would have been the death knell. It'd have been like, no, there's a better game that I can go play. It's not, and Baldur's Gate 3 isn't even like live service or online or anything like that. It's just RPG. It just is close enough. I don't think it would have done nearly as well. It would have been the wrong market. It would have been at the wrong time. I will 100% grant and agree that Diablo Immortal and Genshin Impact are concerning as games. They are. It's concerning. It's like, well, we don't want to see games like that be successful. But I also think they're unique in their success. I don't think you can demonstrate that, like, yep, here we go. That's what we're going to start getting. We're going to start getting games like that. Kind of why I avoid any and all live service games. I just don't have the time to put into them. Here's how I look at live service games. And then I got to transition here and get Mike on the call. This is how I look at live service games. if I can play the game a couple hours a night, either every night or every other night, and I can get enjoyment out of the content loop, and I can get enjoyment out of my character in the world or whatever it is that I'm doing, I have no problem every couple of months giving that game money. I have no problem with that. It's as soon as you tip over into the other categories of, yeah, you got to give this game your life. No, I'm good. Dude, I'm good. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not 16 or 17 years old. I'm not a freshman in college that can stay up all night playing EverQuest and World of Warcraft. I'm not in that era anymore. I'm 42. I have two children. Like, I don't have time for that. And I think a lot of the gaming populace is in my scenario, which is dangerous because we're prime targets for pay to skip, pay to progress, right? We're prime targets because of our limited time. I just want a game that expects me to invest in it to tell me how they expect it. Well, I don't know if right now is the time for that. I think they're just doing the typical marketing thing, Eugene. They're saying, here's the characters, right? Obviously, they're doing some of the cliche things. Here's some women that are, you know, shapely and, you know, slightly revealing. And then they're showing cool combat. And then they're showing cool characters. And they're like, yeah, come play it for free in September and tell us what you think. We already had a beta. We took your feedback to heart. We've completely revamped the progression system. Okay, well, come back in, you know, September and try again, you know. I gotta get hello. Okay. I gotta get Mike in here. Hang on 1 second. Okay, he's ready. Let me make sure that it turned off my appearance new. Make your Discord. Oh, I can do that with Nitro. I'm not spending money to make my Discord look different. Where is the note? Here it is. Notifications. Disable all notification sounds. Great. Okay. I'm gonna pop this out. And then. All right. You there, Mike?
Yo.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
All right. Yep, I can hear you now.
Oh, you just can't see me. Hang on, I gotta plug my camera in.
Yeah.
There we go. I knocked down my Big Lebowski Lego that I made.
You made a Big Lebowski.
Let me see if I can get the camera to.
Oh, you're showing it on stream? Hold on.
Made a Big Lebowski Lego. It was supposed to look like me, but
that's a big difference between
Yeah. And then this one, my kiddos thought this one looked like me. This is the pompadour. And so they had a PlayStation controller. I gave him a PlayStation controller. He doesn't have a beard though. That's my problem with this game.
That's like old you with the hair on the, like, the long hair and the beard.
Yeah, remember this?
You look like Hagrid.
Remember this? We had people convinced that I had my own Funko Pop.
Oh yeah.
Because he literally looks like me. Red shirt, the glasses, the beard.
Is that the one from that HBO show?
Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Silicon Valley, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I got my own Funko. And there are people like, you did? Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I was like, no, I'm just messing with y'all.
Come on, chat.
I can't find my mouse. Okay, here we go. There we go. All right, guys, I owe you 5 members. I'll do more if you hit 50 in the next stream. Give me a second here. Give me some likes. Let's at least hit 300 likes. We're pretty close. The Friday morning streams have been a little more experimental and self-indulgent. We pick a topic that's a little bit more like, hey, you know, we want to talk about this. We don't want to always be on like the same big news topics. I've got some stuff for next week that'll be spicy, you know, series S conversation about dropping parody. is Baldur's Gate 3 the new standard? Like, I think those will be fun shows next week. But sometimes we got to touch other topics and things so we don't get into, like, a very, very predictable rut.
Well, I didn't know if you were going to have me back on the show after some of the comments last week and the thing. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I shouldn't be on the show.
Yeah, yeah. There are some guys... I didn't step in, but there were some guys on Twitter that were like, I don't know who that guy is, but he just really loves Microsoft. And I'm like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, you have no idea who I am.
Like, no, he doesn't. It's like, just because he doesn't agree with me, just because he thinks like Game Pass and ecosystem have a potential promising future for Microsoft, it's like, that does not make him an X-bot. Like, that's, it always kills me that people just, they can't. Because people do the exact same thing to me in the inverse, right? Like, I had a guy tell me just this morning, he's like, no, you hate Xbox. I'm like, but I don't. You don't know what I feel. Like, that you internalize it as I hate it. And so they did the same thing to you. They just reversed it.
I didn't even go to Twitter. I just saw the comment and responded to that. I think his name was Thunder something. I forget what his name is.
Oh, in the comments. Yeah, I didn't look at the comments. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm not. Well, I guess I am a bot compared to Lono's pony. Yeah, I guess. Sure. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. If you contrast him to me, you know. Yeah. All right. We got.
It's like someone asked you a question. Did you like this game? I did. See? I told you. I told you he was a Sony bot or a Sony pony or Xbox. It's like, the question was, did I like the game?
Hey, Rissik. Rissik! Like, one of the funnest names to yell. This man bumping us to 45.
Roger, was I? YouTube Weekly said I was the number one fan for Xbox.
Okay.
All right. You're not allowed to like things, Creature. You can't like anything. If you show any kind of weakness to liking something, that's when you become a super fanboy of that item.
That's right. All right. Let's do this. Hit the Discord with an announcement. Okay. And Twitter. Go to... I asked a question. Should you start over in Cyberpunk with Phantom Liberty? This guy's like, you literally won't need to on Twitter. It's like, I wasn't implying that you would. You know, should you? You know? Give me Christmas. Oh my gosh.
Russell, you're going to have a really long time. Even if you went back 7 years, I don't think you would find something. Honestly, I don't think you would find anything on my Twitter 7 years ago of me saying something nice about anything.
Oh man, they go back, bro. These guys go back. They're all about finding the evidence. Okay. All right, we're live at this hyperlink. Oh, wait, let me make sure you're tagged. I can't preemptively tag in Discord when I type these.
I like the tag thing they put in YouTube. And like when I use someone's video or talk about somebody, like you just put the @ and then you can link their channel to the tag in YouTube. I like that.
Yep. Hey, Quintar. Quintar rounds us out and is the Agents of Chaos. You guys are giving yourself good padding for next week, man. The stretch goal of 4,500. You would need like you'd need like 400 during the show with myself and Mike, which is probably not going to happen for the stretch goal. But you guys hit the big one, so we'll do the Jar Jar thing. All right, let's just back that up. Forza, PlayStation, Starfield.
What's the extended goal? You have to wear the Jar Jar outfit while watching the new trilogy? Like, what is it?
No, they want us to play Mortal Kombat, like my wife and I, against each other. I was like, I do not want to do that. I do not like fighting game. Okay. All right.
Are you excited? I know. We're not going to talk about it on the show. Maybe we'll talk about it in the VIP. Are you excited for the Ahsoka show at all?
I'm trying not to look at anything.
Anything.
Yeah. I don't want to get my hopes up, because I've seen a couple of things where I'm like, that looks great. And then a couple of things I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, no, no. And I'm like, look away. Don't look at it. Sitting down with 30 So Gaming to recap the gaming news of the week. Send. There we go.
Good, bad, good, bad. All right, see you guys next week.
I thought that was good. All right, next subject. I thought that was bad. All right, next subject.
Give me a 10-minute long question, and I'll be like, yes. All right, next question. And then someone definitely in the comment section will be like, I didn't like the way he said yes.
You could tell by the way he said yes that he's an X-bot. You could see it. There was a glint in his eye. I told my son once, every night I brush his teeth and then we floss. And he would always beg to not floss. Like, can we skip floss? And like I did once, and he went and ratted me out to mom. And I was like, what are you doing?
He set you up.
Yeah, it was a setup. So the next time he asked me, you know, he had a little twinkle in his eye, and I knew what he was doing. I was like, nah, I was like, you got a little twinkle in your eye. And so a couple days goes by, and the next time he goes to ask me, he literally covers his eyes. He covered him with his hand. He's like, can we skip floss? I'm like, buddy, there wasn't a literal twinkle in your eye.
Yeah.
he thought that I was like, yeah, when you're lying, your eyes twinkle. You better cover them up. It was adorable. Little liar. When I sent him to his room with no dinner. No, I'm just kidding. Don't you lie to me, boy. Okay. Guys, I'm going to put a link in chat and smash like before we leave. We almost have 300 likes right now. And we always struggle with likes on these Reforge recaps with Mike. So try to help us out with likes as we go over there, because I'm not going to constantly sit there and ask for them. And I'm going to slide you over just a touch. And now you're coming into my frame. There we go. There you guys go. Use that link in chat. I'm also going to redirect you. Okay.
Oh, good. I get to see the thumbnail, and now I know what topics we're talking about.
Yeah, because I don't tell you. I just surprise you.
It's just a surprise.
Surprise. We're talking about them. We're talking about the upcoming election, Mike. Who do you? Everybody gets really uncomfortable.
Like,
I was wanting to talk to you about Jesus, so let's just get started. Everybody buckle up. All right, here we go. Gonna go in a couple of seconds here. Thanks so much for checking out another weekly Reforge recap, where I sit down with my man 30 and So Gaming, and we recap this week's gaming news. We got Forza Motorsport launching with missing features. We've got PlayStation maybe beating Xbox to cloud gaming. We have them internally admitting to delaying some games. Starfield has gone gold. Review codes are going out. We have an embargo date. Modern Warfare 3 details have arrived, and it looks like DLC. So we have a lot to talk about. Thanks so much for being here, Mike, every week.
Yeah, thanks, man. I love coming here and just chatting, pissing off chat.
That's right. We're going to end the previous stream. We're going to redirect everybody coming over.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.